testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Of our life, no one else can do that. And you have said and promised that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought us under your banner here today. You've not brought us under man, under religion, but under the Lord Jesus Christ and the covering of the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that you will speak life through your word now into our hearts. For this we ask and pray now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, welcome everyone. And it's a privilege and joy to be able to share Jesus with my brothers and sisters today. And I have a word and message that I believe the Holy Spirit has given to impart to us. And I have a title for our teaching today, and that is Becoming Refuse of the World. Becoming Refuse of the World. And I'm basing our teaching today from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, of which here the apostle says, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Now, verses 10 through to 14 reveals what the apostle Paul was referring to here. And I'm going to read those verses so that we can just get to understand what he's saying here. From verse 10, we write, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I believe the Holy Spirit has to bring back to the modern day contemporary church such a heart and spirit. At this point, I'd like to just say in passing that I am for prosperity, I am for blessing, and that God blesses us abundantly. But we know that some of these doctrines and teachings have been taken to extreme. And there are times in our life and walk where God is going to require of us to be what the Apostle Paul says here, for one purpose, and that is for the sake of the gospel. Because that is the only good news, that is the only message to a dying world. And so these verses reveal what the Apostle Paul and the early church went through. Now, the term refuse can also mean filth. And so we get the idea of this, that it's meaning the most despicable person. And in many ways, the apostle is identifying himself with Jesus when he went to the cross. We all know that the cross, crucifixion, was the worst form of punishment, of torture. The vilest offenders were put to the cross. You couldn't go any base, any further, any lower. And here, God in flesh, our Saviour, identified, and he couldn't stoop any lower when man put him to the cross. You see, with God, there's always a bigger picture. We are so consumed at what is happening or what we're going through that we fail to see that God is working through whatever we go through, whatever it looks like. And of course, with Christ going to the cross, God was working redemption. He was working through Christ to save you and I. But it wasn't a pleasant sight. And the reason being is because before resurrection can ever happen, there has to come first a death. And that is why when we become a new creation, we first have to die. We die to the self-life, to the selfish life, the life that we once lived and walked. And as we come up through those waters of baptism, we come up into a new resurrected life. You and I, brothers and sisters, are being bought with a price. You are not your own. You now belong to him. You are his property. You are his peculiar treasure. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to work that in and through us so that when we go through these various trials and testings, we will see that there is always a bigger and larger picture. Everything that God does through your life and my life is in the nature of redemption. It is redemptive. There's always a larger picture involved. And that is why it is important that we stay, we endure whatever our trials will be. Because God is working redemption through your testimony, through your witness, through your love, through your commitment following Jesus Christ. The world may not be reading their Bibles, but they're reading you and I. And we don't realize what God is channeling through each of us. Very often we're blinded to it, and probably just we should be. But God is working. We are lights in this world of darkness. If God were to remove the Christian, the church, there would be no hope for this world. And yet we cannot look at this outwardly, logically, because none of it makes any sense. And yet God works in ways past finding out. As Isaiah says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heavens to the earth, my ways are so, so different to your ways. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And every step of faith that you take always looks ridiculous, hopeless, stupid to the eyes of the world. And what the Apostle Paul was doing for the sake of the churches in laying his life down, becoming refuse to the world, it looked ridiculous, stupid. But he saw where resurrection lies. He saw where life lies. And that is why you and I, we're challenged by Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, placing ourselves upon that altar. It is always through sacrifice that God brings about resurrection. Let God be God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing with our lives. He knows what he's doing with our rebellious family and those around us. He knows what he's doing. He's in complete control. And this is why he's ever challenging us to let go and let God be God and work through your life and my life. Working reconciliation, working redemption, healing, deliverance. It's interesting in these verses that I've read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, a lot of contemporary Christians today believe that the Apostle Paul, he's talking about his weaknesses in the flesh. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh. And because he's talking about this, he's not able to make a very good and positive confession of faith. In other words, Paul is speaking like this because of the weakness of his flesh. All I can say to that is God help us from thinking such a thought. God help anyone who thinks they are more spiritual than the Apostle Paul. Paul was speaking this way to the Corinthians because they were still babes and they were carnal. And one gets the impression that they were quite negligent to Paul's needs as well. No, the Apostle Paul was experiencing something of the sufferings of Christ that very few enter into, for the purpose that the gospel may be preached to a dying world. Brothers and sisters, this has to be restored back to us in the church in these last days. The church has become so lukewarm, Laodicean. But as God says, it's not by might nor by power, it is by my Spirit. And it is always by the Spirit of God that he will work these things, particularly in our weakness. And that is why he challenged this church, the Corinthian church. As we know, they were still babes, they were still carnal. There's much that God had to do with this church at Corinth. And they were neglecting the Apostle Paul. We know this. We can see this in verse 8. He says, you are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings with us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. A lot of them are wealthy. They've got a good life. Things are going their way. And they can't understand why the Apostle Paul is not always following their ways. And we get that in our churches. They will say to us, well, why go through that trial? You don't have to. Why trust in the arm of the flesh? We don't, because we want to trust in the word of God and the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That is our heart's desire. You see, these words that the Apostle Paul is speaking about are no exaggeration. They are true, and he sets the bar for ministry, but also for the Christian church as well, because he becomes that example. And you and I are examples as well. The Lord has placed, invested his Son in you and I. He's invested his blood that cost him his life in you and I. He's placed the revelation of his word in you and I, that the world is blinded to. You are living, walking testimonies of the love of God to a dying world. Now, for some, that may sound frightening. But for those of us who love Jesus, we can simply say, here am I, Lord, use me. Because we know it's in our weakness we are strong. How often have we experienced when it seems God has left us or the heavens have become like brass? Actually, that is the time when God is closest to you. So it reveals you can't go by feelings or emotions. That is why we stand upon the promises of God that never change. And so he calls us to become refuse of the world. And the problem is that we often face this with great caution and concern. And simply because we're more concerned about our own desires and our own wants to be a refuse or a filth to the world. Gosh, how can God do that in and through me? Well, he can. And it proves he's doing it because he's giving us teaching today on it. And all he asks us to is to believe what he teaches us. There are many things that we question. There are many things that seem impossible for God to do something like this in my life. But Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God, which we're doing today. What is it saying in Colossians chapter 1 verse 24? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Very interesting words here. Not easy to interpret exactly what is being said here, but I believe Paul is referring here to the beatings and the sufferings that he received, the imprisonments. And he did it, what for? For Christ's sake and for the church. His life was completely devoted to Christ and Christ alone. And what he went through, and nobody went through as much as what the Apostle Paul went through, he did it for Christ's sake and for the church. He loved Christ's body. He loved his church. And brothers and sisters, God has got to place that back within our hearts, a love for his body. I am talking about those, the remnant that is called out, those who are of like mind and heart and spirit. There are some who profess themselves as Christians and churches, sadly, you cannot embrace. They're ecumenical. They walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. They follow man and not God. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the true remnant, those who love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and being. And God knows who we are. And isn't it ironic that the very ones who love God, who confess him like this, are the ones at times can make the biggest blunders. I'm reminded of King David, whom God said, who has a heart after God, and yet none of us committed murder like he did, who was a man of bloody hands. Don't try and work it out, whom God calls. He calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. But God can and will do it in and through us. And so I believe he's referring simply here to all his sufferings, his beatings, his imprisonments, because he did it for Christ's sake, for the church. And we have to remember the gospel, the deeper life that we teach has separated us unto the gospel. And we don't walk like the rest of the world does. Part of your salvation, your calling, is you are called to the word of God, so that you become living, walking epistles. So that the word, the world is reading, understanding the word of God through your life, through your commitment, through your trials, through your testings, through the separation that he's placed on your life. That's why he says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. God's working that separation in our lives. Because we cannot walk the way that the world is walking. We cannot confess and believe how the world is confessing and believing. There's just something within you that cannot identify with that. Light and darkness cannot mix. Now, it's not to say that we ostracize the world. We live in the world. We work with people who are in the world. But we don't partake of the things that they do. And that is the difference. What does it say in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 1? Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. That is what has happened to your life, my life. You're not only separated to Jesus, but you're separated to the word of God, to the good message. This is a good message. This is the only message. It is good news for the sinner who's looking for Christ. And that is what you're separated unto. That is why we love the word of God. And what the word of God is doing in our lives, how he's changing and conforming us into the image of his son through the word that we hear, we read, we preach. That is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential, because it's changing you, conforming you. It's separated you to the word of God. That is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You will always know God's sheep because they follow the great shepherd, the word of God who was made flesh. That is how you know. And that's why our trials and our rejections shouldn't come as a shock if we are refuse to the world. Why do we get so upset? Oh, they're rejecting me. They don't love me. They don't want to talk to me or whatever it is. Praise God. Count it all joy. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not you they're rejecting. It's the one who lives in you they're rejecting. And when you experience and when you see it like that, you then don't take it personally anymore. Because that's whom they're rejecting. They don't want to know. And we have the great privilege of being able to pray and intercede for them and appealing to the grace, the mercy seat of God. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Oh, that puts such a different stance on our trials when we can see it like this. You are going to be rejected. You are going to be the refuse of the world. They are going to scorn you at times and me. And we're seeing this happening more and more. We're seeing our liberties, our freedom of speech gradually being eroded. It's going to cost us to confess and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. They will say, how dare you say that? Everyone can get to God. No, they can't. Only through the name of Jesus can you get to him. And it's going to cost us. So if we think the things that we encounter are strange, it is because we are fearful and cowardly. And that's what God is removing from us. That fear, that being cowardly. And all the while we're thinking it's strange and moaning and groaning because of our trials, that is the problem. That is what he's rooting out of you and I, that fearfulness, that being cowardly. We still so often are paying so much attention to our own wants and needs and interests that we're not willing to become the filth of the world, to walk through this earth and mud. In the miry clay. And yet, that is what we're going to be. That is what the Christian church, the overcomer, is going to appear to the world in these last days. They're going to think we're scum. We're rebellious, nonconformists. We're not fitting in with the rest of the world. We don't fit in with the religion, the ecumenical movements. We don't participate of Mystery Babylon and so on. We don't, because Jesus said, come out from among them. Don't touch it. It's unclean. And they're going to think us the filth of the world. Are you looking for a name? Are you looking for a title? If you are, you're in the wrong place. If they did it to Jesus, they will do it to us. And that's why Peter says, don't think it strange, because it's Christ in you they're doing it to. And that's all that matters, because then everything makes sense. We don't take it then personally. And that is the problem. We still take too often our trials personally. and we must get delivered from this. It's the one who is in you they're attacking. You see, I'm afraid we are at times quite stubborn in submitting and yielding to this area. And that's why it takes a lifelong walk. You see, a true overcomer is one that is not bothered what the world thinks or how it treats us, as long as the gospel is proclaimed. In other words, I'm not worried what they think. I'm not worried what the family think. I'm not worried as long as I proclaim the gospel, as long as I live the life that he has set for me to live. It doesn't mean that we're not responsible. Of course we are. If you have a family, if you have a husband, a wife, you have a home or whatever it is, of course there's responsibilities that go with that. But it doesn't hold me. It doesn't sway me. It doesn't cause me to compromise. That is the question. And God's ever working that, isn't he, in and through our lives so that we can walk this walk as disciples. You see, the Apostle Paul, and including all of us, are not just separated unto to God alone, but also separated from the world. That is the control of the world, the lusts of the world. That's what he's separating us from. And all the while we're held by fear or cowardliness, we're going to be held in areas of the world. And the only way, brothers and sisters, we are changed, we can get delivered, is that we take it back to him in prayer. We give it over to him and we ask him to do that work. Because you can't do it in your flesh. None of us can. It's impossible. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he will work this in and through our hearts. The Lord has a wonderful way of changing our mind, our heart, our attitude. It is supernatural how that we once embraced the thing or we had affections for things, how slowly it changes. And you no longer have affection anymore. You know that it doesn't hold you anymore in compromise. These are the works that we should be experiencing as Christians. And it comes by asking. It comes by prayer. It comes as we seek him. That is why I'm always saying when we hear the word of God, it's always important to have a little notepad, because there's something that can come up in the teaching that you say, yes, I've got to take that before God. I've got to talk with my Heavenly Father about this. You see, the enemy wants to rob us. He wants to rob that seed that's being sown into our hearts. That's why I always say that one of the greatest parables that Jesus ever gave was the parable of the sower. That is happening every day, every time we come together. I am always reminded of that parable because the enemy is there to rob us of the blessings of God and his word. Because God is a farmer. He's sowing seed. We tend to think that he just did it through Christ, through the disciples. No, he's not. He's still sowing seed through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is why he's come back to us as a teacher, not only to lead and guide us, but he's come to us to teach us. That is seed being continually sown to bring forth fruit, a harvest in that right time and way. You are part of that harvest, brothers and sisters. You are the result of seed being sown into your heart, into your life. And in due time and in due season, God will bring forth what he has sown into you, which comes through the word of God. That is why I'm a stickler that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in what we have read to you back there in 1 Corinthians 4:13, includes all of us. We're separated unto him. We are saved, we are separated from the world for one purpose, and that is to reveal his Son, Jesus Christ. And let's end with Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So he saw what his calling and his salvation was for. And you, brothers and sisters, you are going to see more and more that you're not only called as a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as it says in Galatians 1:16, you have been called to reveal his Son to a dying world. You decrease that he increases. And all he asks of you is simply to believe that he can do that and will do that with that simple childlike faith. That is why he said, it's not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we believe you have spoken into our lives today. And Lord, you would not speak to us in the manner and way that you have unless you go before and you prepare and you provide. All you ask of us, Lord, is that simple, childlike faith to simply believe you can and you will do it. We realize more and more none of this lies in our own strength, in our own intellect, our own knowledge of what we think. Father, it is by your Spirit. Lord, thank you that you don't give up on us. You're so merciful, you're so long-suffering, patient, because you see in the last days a harvest to reap. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would not give up in trial, that we would stay with it, we would endure to the end. You have promised and said you won't try us and test us above that which we're able to endure, but you make that way of escape. We know that we must go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. But the good news is that you have gone before and you have prepared the way. And you said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I pray, Lord, that we look up and we look away as our redemption is drawing near. We know that Jesus is coming soon. We are seeing the falling away now in the world, in every way and form. We thank you, Father, for separating us. We thank you, Lord, that we are your family. We are your people, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that you will bless, preserve my brothers and sisters who are in the room today. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Father, renew their youth like the eagles. By your stripes they were healed at Calvary. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. And may they ever follow the Lamb wherever he goes. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.